Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Hello and welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Hot off the presses of an orc trifecta, we've decided to just do a little tease of what's to come with Eldar by doing kind of a, because we're not going to jump headlong into Eldar after doing orcs because we're just going to get tired. It's like, and also don't want to blow our load this early.
It's also a lot of everything.
It's a lot of everything. So
65 million years to be precise.
Yeah. And so for those of you who don't know Brad very well, Brad's favorite faction is
Eldar. Right?
Yeah.
Like hands down.
Has been forever.
I have played them since third edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been psycho about the lore. It's how I got into the lore.
Yep.
Or got into the game, sorry, is because of the lore. We talked about this before. In Eldar, I love Eldar because Eldar are so enigmatic. They have ridiculous, horrible problems, but they also reach the pinnacle of greatness, and they also meet the depths of despair and failure. They've been both.
And I would also point out that for those people who play competitively, they also tend to always be the most broken faction in every edition.
Oh, that's not, that has never happened. I feel like someone's going to hit me through the internet right now.
Before this, Eldar are an amazing faction. I actually also
they're the
love
golden
them.
Boys.
I actually do think, and I will say, coming off an orc cast, I think playing Eldar and orcs is a really great way to enjoy the game because you kind of learn both styles very, very quickly, and they have two very enjoyable styles. Orcs
yes.
are hit with hammer. Eldar are dance scalpel. around the star in the darkness and hope no one sees you.
Yep, and they hit you with a super sharp scalpel.
Yeah, incredible, out of nowhere, and you never saw it coming. They are the ninjas, and the orcs are, well, the orcs.
I mean, and one of the things is that I do want to go into what the differences between Eldar and humans are superficial at first glance.
Yes. So yeah, let's start there then. So let's go into kind of the idea of this cast is to take us from a quick background on the Eldar and take us from the rise of the Eldar all in the, and under the post-Old Ones up through right about the 30th millennia.
And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so we were in like 64.9 million years.
Yeah, I mean, easy peasy. It looks like I'll have to cover it in a quick hour.
Yeah, this is an hour, maybe 45-minute episode.
Yeah.
So we'll start with what Brad was just touching on. What is an Eldar?
The thing is Eldars are very, at first glance,
mm-hmm.
it looks like a thin, athletic human.
Yeah.
But then you get quick divergence.
Yeah.
One, you go with what the Imperium has said in different fluff in the lore. Mm-hmm. Eldar are actually disconcerting to be around for humans because their movements are all too precise, too fast.
Yeah.
It's like Interview with the Vampires where they just keep doing things and their movements are just too fast, too precise, too everything for humans. And that's because they were made to be that way. Because let's go into what they are. They were uplifted by the Old Ones. Mm-hmm. And I'll go back into that in a second. But the Eldar are made to be OCD. Hold my beer. Eldar have OCD. Eldar only focus on one thing at a time. And I make the fun of this all the time because we ended up with aspect warriors and things of that. They get so focused on a certain type of fighting, a certain type of anything, knowledge, casting, knowledge of the warp of everything else, how to do things. But they also have people that are craftsmen that spend their entire time going, I am going to make the best donut. Yes. I'm going to make, but they get people that are, they're insane though.
They pick something.
They pick something and they also spend 1,000 years doing that something. Their craftsmen make artwork. Where they live is pure art that is functional, but they also do that in war, in mm-hmm. learning and knowledge, in their leaders and psychic.
Well, you even said it earlier where, you know, it's disconcerting for humans to be around them. The Eldar in that 64 million years between, you know, the fall of the Old Ones, and they were around before that. So this is probably 100 million year species versus human beings, which are a million.
They were already space.
They perfected things like walking, which sounds like a stupid thing, but this is when you read the fluff to talk about this, when an Eldar walks, the way that they walk is so perfect. It actually is creepy because they've had millions of years to perfect
walking. Because their steps are all exactly the same.
Yeah.
Same distance.
Exact same distance. The way that the heel to toe ratio, everything about it is, it's
the thing is, they're all psychos about that. So everyone does that.
It's not one guy does this. This became the only way to walk. Like they do everything they do is the exact best way you could possibly do it, which is creepy to see.
And also the thing is that we also have to look at the Eldar that we see now. And we'll go into this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We'll go a little bit after. But we now see only the extremes of Eldar, which is left. We'll get into that.
So let's talk about where they came from. So as Brad said.
Hold back real quick, though. The Eldar are psychically infused. They were already a psychic race when the old ones, I guess, uplifted them. They already knew that they existed, but they went, we need help. We need, we're in a scrap right now.
It's interesting. We have stories of the Necrons and how the Necrons or the Necron tier came into being and met with the old ones. We don't have this for Eldar.
No.
The Eldar just kind of were under the old ones. That's all we know.
We just know that they got juiced up, but we know that they created the orcs and then they basically took the Eldar and went, oh, cool. A race that is very magic oriented, psychically, basically infused, like genetically already. Well, we don't have time to do anything else. Let's just juice that up. They basically gave the Eldar PEDs on psychics and went psychic and went, go.
Go get them.
Yeah. And also, we need you to fight this super powerful star gods and also these
pseudo robots.
Yeah. Also, we're losing, so you need to do something about this now.
Yeah, also do that. And then later on, there's these things that are eating us out of the webway and enslaving us. Can you also kill them off, too?
Like right now.
Yeah.
Also, you need to kill them.
Yeah.
Also, watch out because they might mind slave your entire race.
They're also coming for you, too. But we're jumping ahead a bit. So let's roll back to the old ones. So yeah, old ones, create them. The interesting thing about the Eldar, which kind of the story I like about them, is the old ones didn't create them for war initially. They were actually made for like poetry.
They're supposed to be the best. One of the things is that you're saying make them, you know, uplift them to be the best of all your things.
Yep.
The old ones were creators, but they were creators trying to be in harmony with the universe kind of thing. And they saw the Eldar as these are going to be the greatest of the builders, of the poets, of the craftsmen, of the artisans. And then they went, oh crap, we're getting attacked, and went, yeah, remember that the first plan? Do that, but do it with guns and swords and psychic attacks. But we were going to basically do poetry and build the best and the finest and the most uplifting things in the universe. They went, yeah, talk, talk, talk. We're getting shot at.
Less talky, talky, more shooty, shooty.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So we had a huge divergence in you are going to be the artisans and the craftsmen and the poets of the universe. And also now enough one with the universe. You have to be one with the gun.
Yeah, and we need you to go kill all of these things.
Yeah.
Probably some of them are star gods. Is that weird?
Yeah, we're also losing terribly right now.
So
at the time they were getting rolled.
What ends up, and Brad and I were discussing this before we started, what ends up kind of setting the Eldar down a path of destruction is though the old ones, though they were turning the tide against the C-10 and the Necrons, the arrival of the enslavers created a huge problem because the old ones just suddenly lost the enslavers, even though the war they were winning, the enslavers did it. And so the enslavers removed the old ones before they could give a legacy.
Kind of in the thing in because they never know exactly what happened with that. Yeah, the enslavers got beat back.
We're gonna do a tiered episode.
The enslavers did that. The enslavers didn't kind of went away, but the enslavers still exist. The old ones just kind of went away. But the problem is that the old ones, remember, the old ones were unlimited in tapping into the warp, but they never affected it. They just kept it a serene lake.
Mm-hmm.
What the problem is that they had this race that was already tapping into the warp just by innately. They knew it existed, but they all were connected to the warp. We're going to basically do this. We're going to make them more powerful. We're going to increase their connection to the warp because we want them to have more power because they need to be able to fight. So they did this, but then they didn't teach them, oh yeah, what you shouldn't do is this. And then they were gone, which is, oh yeah, all of your actions, all of your thoughts
have
consequences in the warp because now you are forever, every descendant of yours is forever tied to the warp. Everything you do has consequences in the warp because we wanted you to be, again, the artists and poets. So you were forever going to be putting perfection, harmony, philosophic thoughts into the warp.
They were a race made, to use a bad reference, they were a race made for good that was turned to a race made for destruction.
Right.
Whether they wanted to be or not, that's what happened. And the issue is, I don't think the old ones ever really conceived of what would happen. Well, what if we lost, but the Eldar and the Krork and the Jokerro, we'll do an episode on later, continued on without us? What happens without direction? As we covered in the last episode with orcs, what happened with orcs were given no direction?
And the answer is shit went down.
Bad. So this is what ends up. So the old ones are just gone. Luckily, the Necrons decided to turn on the Seatan around the same time. And then looking up, seeing an Eldar, the Necrons just go into hiding. So it's just the Eldar, the Jokerro, who were never mentioned, by the way, ever in anything I can ever find until much later, and the Krork. So the Eldar just kind of look at the Krork and go, no, and push them out to the side of the galaxy. Yeah, luckily,
we're not losing to, you know what you can do? We can also do, but we're not you.
Yeah. The downside is that Krork, as we've been over, an orc is never beaten. So you can push him back, but the second you give a space,
Eldar
enjoy punching the tide.
And the thing is that the Eldar, well, let's go back up just a little bit. The Necrons try to take on the Catan. They think, hey, we've won this fight, but there's a lot of Eldar.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of orcs. And they go, we're going to take this time to turn because we think it's the only time we're going to get, because there's still fighting going on.
Yeah. Oh, the Necrons turn on the Seatan in the middle of the war.
Yeah. And they attack Russia in the winter.
And the difference is, well, unlike that, they actually won, though. They actually did defeat the Seatan.
Well, but they took such horrific losses that they literally looked over and went, oh, in the time, because it took a long time.
Yeah.
In the time that we've been doing this, those guys that were the helpers of the old ones are now a galactic civilization. Oh, we can't deal with this.
Extremely well armed, and it's them and the crew. Well,
that's all they've been doing, too.
So the Necrons just at this point disappear. So the Eldar are looking around, and there's no Necrons. There's no Seatan. The Krork they knock out first. That's it. That's the entire galaxy. And the last thing that the note I had pointed out was that, and Brad touched this earlier, the old ones did warn the Eldar of saying, hey, you got to follow the original path we gave you. Don't fall to your primal instincts. But much like the Emperor with the Primarchs, didn't explain why.
Why?
Just says, don't do it. And
nothing happens.
Now we're going to talk about 64 million years very, very quickly. But as you can imagine, things get forgotten. So the first thing that the Eldar are going to do is they begin to conquer the stars.
And they laughably do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to stop them.
Well, it's not only that, it's just most of the races that are going to be anybody don't exist.
Yeah.
And the races that we don't know about, just like the two purged legions, they just rickroll them and just move on with their lives. Yeah. Because they're so numerous and technologically and psychic. Because remember, no one else is using psychic powers besides them.
Well, the orcs, I just don't realize it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying besides the orcs themselves, no one else is even tapping into this warp thing. So they are just psychically attacking anybody they meet and going, yeah, I had a gun, I had a sword, and then Ted's mind blew up, and I didn't know how to brace for a mind explosion.
Yeah, and the Eldar, I mean, what I would say is it starts off really great.
Obviously. Actually, they, for a little bit, and I say a little bit, it's
60 million years.
Yeah. They create a society of just
more than like 63 million years.
Yeah. But they create a society for a long time of no one wants anything. And this is a big deal because Eldar of today do not use any of this forbidden for a reason.
Yeah, much like the Dark Age of Technology for Mankind. Right. They view this era as being
don't do this.
The fall.
Right. Which is Eldar legitimately, like orcs do it accidentally. Eldar make with, because they're there in harmony. Everything that Eldar does that's mechanical isn't quite mechanical. It is actually...
There's warp energy.
There's warp energy in it. They make things out of the Wraith bone, but it's all, it's sung into existence.
Yeah.
But they live in harmony. They're trying to do it off elves in fantasy, where they live in nature. They make things from existing.
And we can also call this out that, you know, 40K is the predecessor to fantasy.
Yep.
And so the Eldar are one of the first races in the game, Eldar, Orcs, Mankind, Chaos.
Well, they're supposed to be the elves of old Nordic times.
These all line up with...
They're the Elysium elves. They live in harmony. They make things because they exist. But elves for millions of years have a society where you can will anything you want into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean anything.
And they do this. They start off with the webways. What they do is the webways were, again, built by the old ones. And the Eldar took that. And the way I like to describe it is the old ones built the Roman roads, which any of us who've been to Europe or listeners who live in Europe have probably walked on, driven on whatever a Roman road. Romans built good roads, but there weren't that many of them. And the Eldar took that and made that like the U.S. highway.
Yeah, system. They made it a super highway.
Yeah, just or actually German
Autobahn, everywhere.
Name it. And they are everywhere. And so now, as the Eldar conquer new worlds, they build new webways to connect those worlds. So
they get instantaneous travel. You have instantaneous travel to anywhere you want, period, in the galaxy. And also, you will things into existence. So as soon as you conquer a world, you just make whatever you want there.
Yeah, and that world becomes a garden world overnight.
Yep.
Hey, but one thing this is going to come up later is they also took the webways and took them up quite a few notches. They actually began to build cities.
We have to put this out. We say city and you think, oh, it's a city. No, it's a limitless expanse of interdimensional area. City. I live in Toledo. That's a small city.
It's not a city.
Totally a city.
Toledo is just Toledo.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you look at that and you go, hey, man, what I'm actually saying is I have an Atlantic Ocean sized property and there's things everywhere. Well, what do you mean by that?
I'm going to have to edit this out later, but I'm trying to imagine what the Toledo of the webway would look like.
It's still the dark city.
Is it though, or even the Drukhari not go there?
It's the bad part of Gamora.
Sorry, I may edit that out, but I probably won't.
But it's a big deal in this because they are in, this is a big thing, and this isn't the Eldar are the best, but you have to look at it from the Eldar mentality of Eldar are the kings of the universe for them.
Yeah.
We are untouchable. There's nobody that could possibly do anything ever to us. That is the mindset of a race of people.
And when we talk about no one can touch us, let's really dig in. We're not talking like when mankind expanded into the stars, they would hit, you know, if we look at Imperial history, they would hit, you know, random dude civilization and they beat it, but they still have to work at it. The Eldar would just show up and there'd be somebody, hey, no, and they go, and they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah, exactly.
Snap a finger, they're gone.
And they have next level technology. They just don't even think that these people exist. And that is kind of sets the way for, I love that we put pleasure cults.
Yeah.
But the problem with you go ultimate power ultimately corrupts. And the problem is that Eldar took this to the next level, which is if you were born into life and you say, how long do I live? Kind of forever.
Effectively forever.
And also anything I think becomes real. And this is how I live from day one.
Well, actually, at one point about that, not only do I live forever, but when I die, I reincarnate.
Yeah.
So I am effectively immortal.
Yeah.
I'm already long lived, but I'm also effectively immortal.
Right. And the thing is that you were born into this. I am the most powerful thing that I know of.
That exists, but to be fair, you are the most
my whim
doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, because my whims become real.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. what am I doing for excitement? What is going to make me remember? We are also a crazy OCD race of perfectionists. What is going to stimulate me? What do I want to be the best at? What do I want to perfection it at? And you started to get Eldar cults that went, I'm bored. My OCD is, I want to be the best at seeking new things.
Well, let's dive into that though really hard though, because I think this is something that needs to be driven down when we talk about what happens to the Eldar. These are a species that were uplifted to be creative. They were uplifted to be a questioning all these wonderful features. And in 60-something million years, they're also incredibly powerful. They just solve all of their hardships.
Well, there's nothing to be creative about because everything that you could be creative about has already been solved.
Yeah, there's you have unlimited. When we think about like what would make all of us happy in this world, at a basic level, it's like, well, I want food. Yep, that's I can make that with my mind. I need shelter. Make that with my mind. You know, I want to read books. Well, you live forever. Every book you ever want to read is available for you. When you read so fast, you have almost an unlimited amount of knowledge. There isn't this. There's just no. You lose want. So
you also lose need, which is what also propels people to be the best at something. Oh yeah, I have a drive to be perfect. And right now you told me there's no reason to do anything.
Because you already are perfect, but I need to be perfect. You are perfect. That's a weird problem.
Good place to be.
And now I have a theory on this, and it's just a pure theory, is I actually think this was the work of the Chaos Gods. I think this is actually Tzeentch primarily. And the reason I think this is, when you read through the codexes and you read through the stories of the Eldar, there was a lot of war going on. Eldar actually did fight Eldar throughout this period of time. They did conquer galaxies. And I think that the warp gods were being formed at this era. And there was this,
the Eldar were warned that there's consequences to what they're doing, but they're now the biggest narcissist, crazy, we care not about anything. And that is going for millions of years into the warp.
Exactly. And there are stories of them. They viewed races as being just barbarians. And so they would just eliminate them, which
that wasn't even that close. It was just like if there was ants in your driveway, you went, get out of my driveway.
I'll get the stuff and spray them and they're gone. So this is, again, it's a theory I have, but I really do believe that this is some of the early Chaos God intervention on them, was making what's going to come next, making them say, well, I've mastered everything. What else could I do with my time? And
be terrible.
There you go.
Be next level terrible.
Yeah.
Be the best at being the worst.
So we see this era that I referred to as the rise of the pleasure cults.
You know, and let's go into this, because I want to do the same thing of the pleasure cults. So at the time of the pleasure cults, we end up with the craft worlds.
This stage, the Eldar, as I was saying earlier about Tzeentch, begin to go down, not all Eldar, but similar, a bit of a dark path. I think the first piece is, as we were saying, you have a species. I hate saying that they did this because they were bored, because it's insulting. It's not that they were bored. They were created to be inquisitive and consistently looking for further levels of perfection and knowledge. And they got all of it. That's the only way to explain it. That's it. It's done.
And this is another strange thing, because they could have literally found more things, but that I do agree that they were corrupted down a path of, you could go try to find new ways, or you could just do this right here,
yeah,
which is right in front of you.
And so the story of the pleasure cults is a little bit different depending on which codex you read, which story you read, but effectively it starts off with the theories. It starts off with kind of like them just looking for happy, fun things.
Yeah. They did a hedonistic version of it.
Yeah.
But then they instantly got bored with that.
Yeah, that wasn't enough.
And then they went, well, I'm going to inflict harm. I'm going to make people fight, actually.
They started building coliseums and making people fight and killing. And that seemed to feed a bloodlust, which might sound like a certain Chaos God.
Well, then they actually even went farther from that, which goes back to, because you think, again, the gods of chaos, and then you want Siege to get back into this, which is, I don't want them to just fight. I think you guys just enjoy hurting people.
Yep.
And then they went, well, how do you hurt people? And how do you become perfectionists at hurting people?
Yep. And then we get into these, what become the pleasure cults, go from a hedonistic cult to torture murder cults. I mean, horrifying things.
And then we see this in the Dark Elder later on with covens.
Yeah, the covens, the homunculi, for those of us, those of you who play 40K and know the Dark Elder, the homunculi are the layover of this era.
100%.
Yeah, and so the stories you hear are of like the cities at night, you just hear screaming. And it was these hordes of people chasing people that are murdering.
Full planets of like just
murder and
the
death.
The end times everywhere. Basically of be stronger or just be used for the delights of these ruling. It's not even class. It was just the most powerful.
Well, it actually was from this. And this is where kind of it all, this is why, again, I think it's chaos, because this is pure Tzeentch right here. As these pleasure cults start growing, they begin to really infect the ruling and wealthy class of the Eldar, who find this to be even more awesome. At that point, now your society has hit the inflection point. Because now the people in charge are the ones doing all the bad. They've got all the power. They got all the money. What do you do? And these things start to explode. So what you do is you bail.
And that's the thing is that what happens is over thousands of years, because sometimes they gloss this over in the stories, but this takes a huge amount of time, a large number of Eldar, which is a small number of Eldar compared to the full society of Eldar, decide that this is not what Eldar being, this is not what being Eldari is. This is not what being an Eldar
is. Should we take a moment to talk about seers at this point? Because the seers, I think.
Well, the seers start literally seeing into the future and see the downfall of the Eldar race. And they know that there's a cataclysm coming. And the ruling class of the Eldar effectively say, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
And they just go, and they're like, when's it happening? And they're like, sometime in the future. They're like, yeah, good year. I don't care. I live forever.
Yeah.
And so the Eldar start constructing the craft worlds, which are planets with rockets, effectively. They make, but they take forever to build. And this is why they gloss it over a little bit in the codices and a lot of times in some of the books. These are like lifetime creations. They take forever,
hundreds to thousands of years to build these ships that are going to hold billions, trillions
of people. Yeah. And they say that this is, we're going to take people that are holding to the old ways effectively, but also
not the pleasure cults.
Yeah. Well, it's the old ways, but it's super scientific. You know what I mean? They're super, but all they want is they're not going to use the things that created, well, this goes into the fall, but once some bad stuff happens, they realize that we fell into this because of the fact that we were using the warp to create light, just anything in life. We can't use it to create thought. The thought cannot become reality. It corrupts completely. We will use our technology for everything, you know, and they have to become one. So time set off in literally random directions.
And I have to be careful about bringing this topic up with Brad because we could lose 40 minutes, but
Exodites.
There it is. He knows where I'm going with this. They are copying off of something called the Exodites. We'll be right back after a quick break. It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have Uncommon, get it? Collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today.
To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Now, as the Eldar have been growing over time, this is not the first time that Eldar have left. The Exodites have left for numerous of reasons. The Exodites represent one of an interesting move on GW's part where they decided to write, they teased us all with rules about Eldar riding dinosaurs and
with bright lances on their heads.
Bright lances on their heads and have never released a model.
Well, the biggest thing about this is that they've been doing this for millions.
For millions of years.
And these are effectively lost Eldar to the societies because these Eldar went, we are never going to achieve anything great if we don't have a need, not a want, a need for things.
Well, so, the Exodites were, I think, my opinion, were always motivated by exploration. They were like, all right, this is where our thirst knowledge is. Because one thing that we meet, and we're going to cover this more, we dive more into Eldar, but each craft world that we discuss here of Eldar are independent. They have their own thing that they specialize and care most about. And, you know, depending on you know, whether you're a lay talk.
They drew certain peoples into it, like Beal Tan. Yeah. Got all the specific aspect warriors. So they were basically went, this is the thing that draws people to us. And that became what the craft worlds weren't as ridiculously focused as they were originally.
Yeah.
But as you get more and more
ways, the thing was, this is the beauty of having immediate travel to anywhere in the world. Like the reason most of us don't move and go different places is it's expensive. It's a pain in the ass. How am I going to get there? Where am I going to live? All this stuff. Now imagine wherever you go, you have food, you have shelter, you have all these things. What the Eldar at this point, what their race had become was you would go and just live wherever they were doing the thing you were most interested in. So that's where all these craft worlds were. That's like the Samhain, the Ulthway, the Aletok. They were all, everyone who was with them, this was the thing they believed in most. The Exodites were the weird ones because they were the ones who were on team. I just don't want to be here. I want to go find something.
Oh, new. They were like, this is, you are the problem. You are not what being Eldar is about.
Yeah.
They said, we're going to go and be, we're going to find out what we are, basically.
But the good thing for the Eldar is because everyone was aware of the Exodites. They didn't leave in secret during the night. Everyone, they just like, hey, we're leaving. Everyone, all right, bye.
Well, they didn't care. That's the thing is that it's one of the biggest things is, and let's just go straight to the fall on this. Because effectively, no one cares because the Eldar society has reached the pinnacle of corruption, but also the pinnacle of disdain.
Yeah.
Billions of people are leaving. Who cares? Yeah, I mean, this doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to fish hooks and buttholes everybody and do the weirdest shit in the universe. And no one can tell me not to. I don't give a shit that all these people, because also this is still a very small amount of Eldar.
Yeah,
compared
it's not the majority,
a galaxy ruling civilization.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is how ridiculous the Eldar were. The Imperium of Man in the Dark Ages.
The Dark Age of Technology.
Yep. Dark Age of Technology explored the galaxy, and the Eldar were so whatever. They didn't interact with humanity at that time. They just thought there's insects with rockets and different things. Who cares? Well,
they had warp technology. Mankind was traveling through the warp, had fast and light technology, were conquering planets, harnessing the power, in some cases, of the stars, not fully, not like Necron, but this stuff. And the Eldar just were like, we did that like 62 million years ago.
Yeah, that's like great. This right. is nothing. Yeah. You're like, and people were like, this could be a problem. They go, why?
Yeah, they're not.
They haven't literally been anywhere near our empire, which is 2/3 of the galaxy at this point in time. They're in that other area that we never bothered.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened at that point in time. So then we have the ultimate decadence. Well, if you take ultimate decadence and you do it for a few million years and you are tied to the warp more than any other race in the galaxy is tied to the warp
begins to
shit might happen. Yeah.
So what ends up going next is,
well, let's tie it together with what happened to Perium. The Perium is, the man is wrecked right now.
Yeah. So, oh, that's a good point. Yeah. We should line this up because we talk about Dark Age technology. The Eldar caused a lot of the Dark Age of technology.
Yeah.
Because as they were doing this, as we discussed before,
they ruined the warp.
Yeah. The warp starts just getting fed. And
it's a tumultuous storm.
We talk, it's going to end with the birth of a new dark god. But what the things that the Eldar are doing are feeding Khorne and Tzeentch very heavily. And whenever you feed Khorne and Tzeentch, you feed Nurgle. It's just the way that it goes. So all of the dark gods are getting fed. But
there's one dark god that none of them had the aspects of.
Yeah.
And so this is I'm feeding these three guys. And then there's this excess weird stuff we're doing that's not actually covered. When you look at pantheons of gods, you go, what's covered under my pantheon? And you know what's not covered? Excess.
Excess and just pleasure.
Yeah. And you're like, well, you know what could happen? Oh, we might actually break the sky and create another dark god. Oh, they did.
This all begins, the story I like is this all begins with a dream. Every Eldar, when they would sleep at night, would get the same dream of this like sleeping entity. Like a
terror.
Yeah, dude, it's a nightmare. Yeah. And no one could figure out what it was. At this stage, this is when we talk about the craft worlds. The craft worlds really sped up. There became society's falling apart because people are bringing this up. Imagine if it's not just you and your neighbor have the same dream. You and every single person
you've ever met,
you've ever encountered with, and these guys can talk. They've got communication throughout the entire galaxy. Are all saying, "Yeah, I had the same thing last night." And then the pleasure cults are over there going like, "Whatever, we're still going to go on team murder."
Also, we've had the same dream for a long time. Like
hundreds to maybe thousands of years. There's no dates in this, so unfortunately we have to kind of infer some of this a little bit. Yeah. But they're all having the same dream. So the craft worlds begin getting built. Again, when we say craft world, it's craft ship is a better way of describing it.
Planet with God.
But I think for people who don't follow it well, it's a ship. Yeah, it's a big ship.
I mean, they literally make giant Noah's Ark, but they're planet size.
Yeah, and these guys start. At this point, they start leaving, and they're leaving and leave everything behind because they realize that despite this dream everyone's having, they can't convince the pleasure cults to stop.
They're saying there's going to be – the seers have been saying this for a long – there is going to be an end. There's Ragnarok is coming.
Yeah.
It's going to destroy everything.
And not like a cool Chris Hemsworth style.
Yeah.
Like this is – bad.
This is actual Ragnarok. It's not good. And well, it happens.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, out of a very predictable spot.
Well,
the sky explodes.
Well, they break the sky.
Yeah.
The Eye of Terror is created. The Eye of Terror, for people that don't know, is where the center of Eldar civilization used to be. Slaanesh is born from quadrillion. There's no, I don't even have a number on it. Slaanesh is born from all of this happening and the essence of coming out of the cocoon of the warp. Slaanesh breaks the sky, destroys all of the core Eldar worlds, and sucks the life force out of all Eldar. But way worse, now because of their warp connection, any Eldar that's ever going to die ever is also going to have their soul eaten by Slaanesh.
Yeah, that's actually a thing we didn't touch on well enough here. When an Eldar dies, their soul goes into the warp and then comes back before this moment and then would come back out of the warp to be reincarnated into a new body. That's how the Eldar had always functioned. And this was also helped really have a lot of their ego, for lack of a better phrase. They became immortal via this method. Eldar always did this. For the pleasure cults even, who are going out there and murdering people at night, every person they murdered just got reincarnated.
They don't think anything
else. So in some ways, it's still evil, don't get me wrong, but it's not quite the same thing of like, yeah, I killed that guy, but he'll be back tomorrow. So whatever, you know, the type scenario. This is how the Eldar had functioned for 65 million years.
Exactly. And now every Eldar that dies, not only dies forever, but also gets its soul eaten.
The soul goes into the warp where Slaanesh is waiting.
Well, it comes to Slaanesh. Yeah. It's drawn to Slaanesh, and Slaanesh not just destroys their soul, but effectively you suffer an eternity of hell as you're getting and absorbed.
And it powers up Slaanesh each time.
And the thing is that, well, we'll go into Infinity Circuit later, but Eldar have to do something to fix this. But what happens is this actually frees up the Imperium to become.
Yeah.
One, Eldar just lost 90% of their people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe slightly more, to be honest.
And become a dying race. Not only do they lose 90%.
But I mean, they're dying. We say they're a dying race, but there's like a lot of them.
but the one thing is that they're a dying race and that they now have, they're on the path to extinction. They're not dying.
Well, they reproduce super slowly for one.
Well, I'm not, can they even reproduce anymore?
They never really go into that.
That's the thing. Like I was trying to find this myself. I don't think they even can reproduce. I think so, the Eldar are
because their souls go into the Infinity Circuit, which is basically a closed network.
Yeah, which that's how they try to keep themselves alive. But I don't think they can expand in the 41st millennia. I don't think they can add Eldar.
Yeah. So, but basically, this clears up the warp.
As Slaanesh explodes, though, one thing we should note for those of us who are playing 40K is. Some of those craft worlds we were talking about didn't quite leave in time. All the ones we discussed had left well before this. Because as Brad said, when this breaks the sky, it's not just one or two planets. It is systems upon systems.
Yeah.
And the Eye of Terror is fascinating and terrifying because it is a bridge between the materium and the immaterium that you can go through a la Orcs did this. Species do this. They actually are able to enter. It's a way into the warp you can literally walk through. Is created. Has never existed in the history of the galaxy. It's
such a traumatic psychic event that it scarred both sides forever.
Well, Eldar, even Exodites felt this happen. This spread the entire galaxy. It was
a psychic backlash. Well, the thing is like also a ton of Eldar just died that weren't in the explosion. Yeah. They died from massive psychic attack, but also again, said like my race just died, or it's going to. I've just seen the death knell of my race.
Well, yeah, I think about it. Star Wars Episode 4. When the Death Star blows up Alderaan.
Yeah, he's
just and you see Obi-Wan makes that face.
Yeah, but you have to do that a million times.
One planet, billions of these all happen.
It's planets. It's not people. It's planets.
And all of the Eldar feel this instantly. The only three who escaped this are the Exodites, who were long gone, the craft worlds who left early enough, and interestingly, this group becomes important. Any Eldar who were in the webway would happen because the webway is not in the materium or the immaterium.
They find out this exists, but also at the time, the webway is currently full of all those pleasure cult people.
Yeah, they got really into this. So
yeah, they got super into it. They got so into it that they wanted to be off the grid to do weirder things.
So that was where we are. The Eldar at this point now. Let's press it. 90% of the Eldar are dead.
It might actually be more, to be honest.
It's actually hard to. There's no numbers here. This is all stuff we know. These things happened, and we understand pieces of it. But there's no, GW never went from
there was everybody that was
population
in,
of blah blah blah.
Well,
blah,
everybody blah, blah. That was in the Eye Terror, which is a huge spot.
Yeah.
But also everybody near the Eye Terror also died. Yeah.
And then random ones everywhere. And then also you have Eldar who didn't fully know what happened. Anytime an Eldar died until they built the Infinity Circuits and Gamora had their own, the Dark Elves had their own way of doing this, until they figured those out, every time an Eldar died, they also were just dead forever, which they'd never experienced before. I mean, again, we're talking about a species who's already long lived, now having to learn an entire new way to live.
Yeah, because you weren't ready for the guy that died at age 5,000 dying and you went, oh, I thought he was going to come back tomorrow. And he's just gone forever. Oh, there's not that many of us left now.
And where this begins to set up the modern, quote unquote, modern 40K is this also uplifts a lot of the other races. The Eldar were the dominant race by light years. They just, not only did they lose a massive percentage of their population, but also they're now on their back foot. Because
they also don't care about ruling.
Yeah, but one thing is that they went from, Brad, we talked this before. If mankind or anyone bumps into an Eldar world and pushes a little bit, the Eldar just kill them. It wasn't a big threat. No problem. Because they had the abilities, they had the numbers, they have all this stuff. The problem with the Eldar now is the Eldar are now in an eternal fight with Slaanesh.
Well, they also are...
Who is a real opponent.
Well, they also have... I have technology that could win this instantly, but if I use it, I could be damning every single person that's on my craft world. You're like, so I could win this fight right now, but if I turn this machine on, everybody might have their soul sucked out instantaneously, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen,
so
I'm probably not going to do this.
And so the Eldar are nerfed. Mankind, at the same time, all of us, this times out really well with the Emperor conquering. Well,
he sees that this is going to happen, though.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yes, the Great Crusade.
He basically sees that this is going to happen because right now, mankind had conquered some of the stars. They had big technology. Mm-hmm. The Dark Age of Technology was a big thing. They created SDCs. They had the Man of Iron. They have full AI. They're still not even close to Eldar technology, so Eldar didn't care. But during this time, Eldar effectively ruined them. Because not only did you have a revolution inside the... I know we're doing Imperium, but this does directly affect...
Yeah.
The Imperium had, well, this is before the Imperium existed, but humanity had a gigantic civil war between AI. And as soon as that happened, then you had, we can't travel anymore.
Yep.
Because the warp became this.
Well, not, it's more than we can't travel. We can't travel or communicate.
Correct.
And the second one's almost more important than the first one because.
Yeah, there's nothing. The warp, at least for humanity, because they don't have a webway.
Turned off.
It is just, they're gone. There's no travel. There's no communication. And all of a sudden you went, oh, and then things went to shit. And then the birth of Slaanesh quieted the warp back down.
All of a sudden, mankind now can go. And the Emperor begins the Great Crusade, creates a Primarch project. He goes. However, that's not the only race in the galaxy that gets fed by this. The orcs have been largely being kept kind of under control. By the Eldar. Every time the orcs, we talked about this last episode. The orcs had never done a true wa until fairly recent in Imperial history. A lot of reasons why is because the Eldar knew what the orcs were,
and they also kept them separate.
Yeah, kept them separate. Anytime they got a little bit too big, they'd go and stamp them out.
Yep, before they could get any sort of force.
That's gone now. And as I've said
also, before, in the mankind does not know what orcs are.
Yeah, no one knows about this. So the orcs are just go from this species that every time, and the orcs don't know what the orcs are, for being honest here. I mean, they're just kind of existing. Now they can begin to really multiply and they can begin to get together. And as we've said before, the more orcs that gather, the more powerful the orcs get. And suddenly you start getting bigger and bigger orc groups. The orcs begin expanding. Starts spreading throughout the galaxy, and this again sets them down the path to where they are in modern 40K. But the most important thing that happens here is chaos.
Well, I'm going to give the Brad theory, and this might be completely not the thing.
It's our cast.
Yeah. But my theory on this is all the gods existed. Well, Slaanesh is born. The youngest of the gods. The gods existed in the most primordial of ways.
Yeah.
But, and then they effectively gained sentience as we would think it, as far as they were already doing what they wanted, what they did. They were so like, this, I am this. I am war. I am murder. I am knowledge. I am the thirst for knowledge. I am deception.
Disease. I
am plague and pestilence. But the thing is that this god gets born, they all get wildly more powerful. Crazy. They all power level up like 2,000 times.
What's the point? My reading the books, I think this is where demons were created. We don't have any stories. You get some stories in the early heresy of like where they encountered like beings and this kind of stuff. The Eldar are weird because, I mean, correct me where I'm wrong here, but the Eldar seem to have a deep knowledge of chaos when they meet mankind, but that's a couple thousand years post the birth of Slaanesh. This is where I think chaos in my mind becomes manifest. It is always,
it also existed. Becomes because this is also when I really feel that the chaos gods start courting humanity on, oh, we did this. This happened because of the Eldar. Well, these guys are affecting it also. And there's wildly more of them.
So many more of them. Because that's actually, we didn't touch on that. We probably should. The Eldar were much like the old ones. They're not an overly populous race because they don't need to be. The reason there's so much mankind is because logistics.
We just need more people to do more things.
We have to make food. We have to make things. We have to make things to exist. Whereas the Eldar could think of it and made it.
They didn't need any. They had no workforce at all.
There's no farmers. There's no laborers. There's nothing. There's just the upper tier. Mankind had that. And Chaos Gods got a taste.
We could do this with X amount of people. What happens if I went 100 to exponential?
Yeah, 1,000x, 10,000, 100,000x, exactly.
Right. So, and this is when they started courting and being, effectively, I think they became more active.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this sets up everything. So when we discuss, the reason we wanted to do this cast for all of you was to really set, give you that final stage set as we dive into more of a modern version of 40K. This is where it comes from. The whole reason the Chaos Gods got, you know, they met with the Emperor. They corrupted Lorgar. They corrupted Horus. It all comes from this. This was their dream. Yes. This was their goal.
Eldar broke the sky and ruined everything. Like, and I say everything, everything. They ruined the galaxy.
The galaxy is falling apart, and they were warned not to by the old ones. And on a future cast, we may discuss the old ones coming back. this is pure fan fiction, but it's very enjoyable. So with that, a little bit of a shorter episode than normal, but that's why I want to do it with you all. On our next episode, we're going to dive back into the Imperium. The goal of this cast, for those of you who are listening along with us, is we're looking to not just, we want to still tell a story. We want to give you pieces of the lore. We want to at least have it be somewhat of a cohesive story so you're not falling all over the place. The goal from here is we're going to begin to expand out pretty hard, pretty fast into random places.
Just so much that's going on. Yep. And we've got a long time to go with
it. And understand GW, this is because of how GW's written it. We have to give you the backstory before they give you the current story. So with that, we look forward to you joining us next week. Again, please like and subscribe. Join our Discord and our Facebook page. We look forward to engaging with you. You'll start seeing some polls appearing on them very shortly to help us kind of decide where we're going next. Now that we've told really the backstories we want to tell, plus, we had to do orcs. We just couldn't wait any longer, so that one had to happen. So with that, I'm John Barsotti. This is Brad Chester.
This guy.
Have a wonderful evening.